It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more. Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Well, hey, y'all, and welcome to another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. We are so excited about tonight's guest. Nathan Beckner is with us from Chicago to share his tips for growing roses in containers. Now, this is a challenge for many rose growers, and I can't wait to hear what Nathan has to tell us.
Well, you know, many people are gardening in smaller spaces these days, and containers are such a good option. And since Nathan's had such great success growing in containers, we're excited to learn from him. Nathan's in the virtual studio, and he's ready to go after this brief message from our good friends at Rosemania.
Since 1999, Rosemania has been your one-stop source for all your rose care needs. From chemicals and safety equipment to garden tools and fertilizers, Rosemania offers the top products at some of the best prices around. They even sell bare root roses. Rosemania carries a full line of products to help battle fungal diseases, insects, and mites, while not harming the beneficial insects you want in your garden. Shipping is free on merchandise orders over $25. Their staff of consulting rosarians is available to answer your rose questions, so visit them today at rosemania.com.
Well, it's time to talk roses. Hey, Nathan, welcome to Rose Chat.
Hey, Teresa. Hey, Chris. Thank you so much for having me. I mean, you guys have so many rock stars of the rose world on your show. I'm just so honored to be here. Thank you.
Well, we're so glad to have you. And Nathan, we're going to get started tonight by asking you the question we ask most of our guests, and that's why roses? How did you become interested in growing roses?
Well, it started back when I was, a toddler. My grandmother, she had the most beautiful rose garden. She was a farmer. She grew all her own food, but when she retired, she moved in town, bought a house with a fenced-in south lot, and only grew roses. And those are some of my earliest and most fondest childhood memories, and I was really hooked then.
Was it the fragrance or just being with your grandmother that was the best?
It was kind of all of it. The fragrance of roses is so, I mean, it's such a visceral experience and really that sensory memory. So whenever I, you know, smell an Oklahoma or a Dove Delight, I really am transported back to being 5 years old in my grandmother's garden. So that's a very, very special thing for me.
Oh, and that's how it all started. Oh, it is special, and when you have these great experiences and you add the fragrance, it is a double delight. Hey, I've seen your pictures, and your roses are awesome. So we just want to know everything about growing roses and containers. So let's get started with the containers themselves. What's the best type of container to use?
Well, with containers, I mean, it's pretty basic. The larger the rose bushel you're going to have, the larger container you're going to need. I usually recommend for probably every 12 inches of vegetative growth that you have to have probably, I would say, at least 3 gallons of container volume. And just really make sure you have a container that has very excellent drainage. That's very important. I mean, nothing kills a rose faster than, you know, sitting in water and becoming anaerobic and swampy. They can just rot out very quickly.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay, let's fill this pot that we have. What soil mix would you recommend?
Well, the soil, there's a lot of options out there right now for soil. I mean, a lot of them are comparable. So there's some really great, good, lightweight, well-draining potting soils. I like a lot that have some rice hull base to it. That's what we use when we grow a lot of our roses. At the store in our little rose yard, we use a nice rice hull-based potting soil that seems to work really, really well and has excellent, excellent drainage.
That's good. Well, what about the roses themselves? Are the roses that do better than others in pots? What are the best varieties to grow in pots?
Well, there's kind of a myriad. It's surprising. If you do your research, you can really find a lot of roses that are going to be very, very successful in containers. For the average gardener, maybe something a little bit on the smaller side. Some of the rugoses, the smaller rugoses, for instance, Frau Dagmar, Hardtop, something like that, that's going to be more compact, tolerate more drought conditions and poor soils, and will do much, much better in a container culture environment.
Wow. Teresa, that sounds like one that you'll need to try. She's the rugosa queen of Indiana, if you didn't know that.
Oh, she is.
Well, she sure does like them, and she has one or two, just a few.
No, they are gorgeous. But there are a lot more people. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
Well, I was just going to say people first think of rugosas, but there's so, so many more roses that you can do besides rugosas that are equally as hardy and just as gorgeous.
Give us a few to choose from for those that are out there shopping. They're taking note right now.
Sure. Well, in our climate in Chicago, we try to specialize in really, really cold, hardy varieties. And I can't stress enough, it's very imperative to really try to get own root varieties. So they're going to be much more hardy. For instance, I've even seen Frau Dagmar Hardtop grafted to, a Zone 6 Dr. Yui. So here in Chicago, you think you have this great, fabulous rose that's super hardy, and then next spring it starts to leaf out and wilt and dies. Well, because the rootstock, couldn't withstand the winter weather. So any own root variety that's going to be a Zone 3 or 4 or below will work really, really well here. I love, love, love Cuthbert Grant. One of my most favorites, kind of a forgotten about classic rose. That's a Zone 3, I believe. Beautiful, dark crimson, almost looks like Crimson Glory, which I think is in its bloodline somewhere. Really gorgeous rose.
Cuthbert Grant?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I hadn't heard of that one. I'm looking it up now.
Me either.
Beautiful.
Right,
I've grown it. I grew it for years and years and years, even as a climber, because in our warmer summers here, it's just, it's a Canadian, so they're not used to having such long growing seasons. And in Chicago, the heat really, really brings out, an exquisite climber. Mine was about, 8 feet, I think, on my deck.
Oh, wow.
It's a fabulous rose. Nice fragrance, too, kind of like a banana-scented, but beautiful color, like smoky red undertones, especially in the spring and fall. Really beautiful. And Golden Wings is probably another one of my favorites, too.
I didn't catch that. Golden?
Golden Wings?
Wings, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one actually survived without missing a beat this last winter with our multitude of polar vortices. I mean, that one survived.
Oh, my goodness.
And it gets gorgeous, gorgeous. Dark red canes in the winter. So it's a really great rose bush. It's heat tolerant, so in our horrible, summer weather here, the flowers open beautifully, don't burn, they drop their petals cleanly, it's shade tolerant, blooms beautifully. Mine never has a spot of black spot or mildew or anything like that. I just love, love, love that rose.
Oh, you just sold it. You just sold at least one, maybe two. Could be three or four.
You guys need some space for those. Those can get quite large, but you can always prune them back. But they're on the larger side.
Do you have rose companies that you recommend? Where do you buy your roses?
Well, oh, my gosh. Probably every online vendor I've tried at some point. At the store, we order from a lot of places, especially in Canada. We order from Backer. We order from Palatine. I really love Rogue Valley Roses. They have some really, really great own root stock. And Antique Rose Emporium is pretty amazing. Unfortunately, I don't think Vintage Gardens is with us anymore. I don't know if you guys know more about that, but I don't think they're around anymore.
I think they're gone now. Which is sad.
Yeah, that was sad.
They had
such beautiful. Yeah, their selection was so amazing too. That was really sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of the older varieties. What of the old roses do you grow?
Oh gosh, well, I had so many. I had a lot of them. In the beginning, I was obsessed with old roses, but like I said, the heat in Chicago you know, a lot of those old roses, unfortunately, due to their genetic makeup in northern European climates, they just don't perform very well in Chicago. But I do love, there's some, like, especially the teas, which they're not quite as cold hardy, but you can throw them in your basement and bring them out in March, April. They don't care. They just bloom like crazy. Don't really have any problems with black spot. Like Duchess de Brabant, that's an amazing one. Who else do I have? Madame Joseph Schwartz. Oh, gosh. Oh, Madame Alfred Carrier. She was one of my absolute favorites. That's a climber that blooms nonstop, even in a container.
Ooh. Now, you mentioned throwing them in the basement. I want to hear more about that. Tell us about winter care, because you're obviously in Chicago, and there has to be some winter care. So what you throw them in the basement? Do you water them through the winter season,
sure,
or you just leave them, let them be dormant, or what do you do?
Sure. So anything that's not cold hardy, like my rugosas or the Cuthbert Crown or the Golden Wings, I just leave those up there open. They do their thing. But the teas and the noisettes and some of my older roses, I will carry them down, and I don't recommend doing this, people. I'm crazy. It's a total nightmare, but carrying down a 120-pound rose bush of Madame Alfred Carrier with the thorns wailing about is not a good thing. But your smaller, more manageable containers, your smaller, more manageable containers, you know, you can grow a tea in, you know, a 3 to 5 gallon container and prune it back, and it's just fine. And I'll just take those down to my basement, make sure it's about 40 degrees. It doesn't even have to be light. You know, a dark basement's just fine. And I'll just check the water. You never want them to be bone dry. You don't want them to be too wet. But the trick is to really keep it in that magic zone of around, you know, 40 degrees so they don't break dormancy.
Yeah.
Well, 40 degrees.
Our producer, Greg, is suggesting that you have a dumbwaiter installed in your house so you can lower your roses to the
lake. That would be, you know what, we were actually going to do that. If we hadn't moved out, I would have done it because I couldn't do it anymore. It's insanity. And I had, before this last winter, because I lost so many things, but I had, over like 30 rose bushes on my roof deck. And a lot of them were in gigantic containers. I had a Cristata or a Napoleon's hat, a giant container, went over an arbor that met Varigata di Bologna, which is in another giant container. And, of course, I lost both of them in the polar vortex.
Wow.
That's heartbreaking.
But they're great roses. I had them up there for probably 10 years, but this last winter.
Oh. Yeah, just sort of did a mean.
Chris down in Alabama lost roses.
Oh, yeah. We have about 150, and we're down to, with even though we've replaced a lot of them, we're at about 125 now.
Oh, yeah.
But,
it was brutal. It was a rose graveyard on my deck. It was so sad.
Yeah. But, you know, you talked about growing these climbers in pots. Your photos on Instagram, and by the way, for our listeners, want to follow Nathan on Instagram. It's Nathan of Roses, I believe, on Instagram.
Yeah.
So go out there and like and follow him for just these wonderful pictures of his garden and roses. But you've inspired us this year to plant roses in large containers on our brick patio. Three climbers of Climbing Colette. I don't know if you're familiar with that rose or not.
Oh, yeah, that's a great, great man. The romantic question. No, that's a great rose.
Yeah, so we're definitely doing that. And, you know, folks don't realize the impact of these photos that get posted online. People actually go and try to mimic what you're doing.
Oh, really? Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. But, no, it's so, there's something so romantic and, you know, beautiful. And, you know, it's sort of like this fantasy, very, you know, gorgeous rose bush and a beautiful urn. You really don't need anything else. You don't have to underplant it. You don't have to do anything. It's such a statement. It's just, you know, I really love doing that as an accent.
Tell us about Mrs. Dudley Cross. I saw a picture. Did that one make it through the winter?
Well, she does in my cold hoop house where I take her every year. But that is a must-grow rose. That's one of my absolute favorite roses of all time. Not only does she have that beautiful, big, opulent flowers that change from like a creamy buff to a crimson, She has a nice tea fragrance. The new growth is a gorgeous burgundy red, and she is completely thornless.
Thornless.
And doesn't get
nice.
Doesn't really get a spot of black spot for me. Maybe a little mildew here and there, but she shrugs it off and is gorgeous just the same.
Wow.
You mentioned black spots. Tell us a little bit about how you care for these roses that are in containers as far as disease and insects and that sort of thing.
Well, what I do and what I really recommend is just selecting a rose that is really resistant to black spot. I mean, that's just, you're going to save yourself so much toil and hardship. Just get a rose that's really resistant. And there's so many now that are coming out of, especially Cordis and Mayans, that are really great roses. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, most of the teas are really, really great at resisting black spot, because I don't really like to spray. I never use insecticides or pesticides or anything like that.
Well, I think that's a very good practice. I think more and more people are becoming more and more concerned about the environment, and around them, and the
right.
effects of spraying, pesticides, insecticides, and that sort of thing. So you use all organic type fertilizers and that sort of thing, or you still using some chemicals?
Well, I don't use any insecticides or pesticides. I do have to say I cheat a little bit with the fertilizer. I just find that in a container culture, it's not really natural. And, I mean, there are great organic water-soluble fertilizers, but I use so much drip irrigation, a lot of them at this point can still clog. I mean, they're coming out with newer ones all the time that work better with hydroponics or drip irrigation, but right now a lot of those are so expensive and a little harder to find. It's just much easier to use a synthetic water-soluble. But that's all I really use, the synthetic.
Tell us about your irrigation that you just mentioned.
Well, I use something called Mr. Landscaper. I have it installed now at my new house. I had it on my deck for many, many years. It was up there. I put it up when I moved in, and it survived all of our winters for about 10 years. Super easy. A lot of the drip irrigations now, you can get a timer for about $40 to $50, and then you buy the tubing, and for just a few $100, you can have your entire deck or yard with an irrigation system, and it's really, really easy. So I really recommend that, because it saves your sanity, especially in the summer and the heat. I'm sure you guys can relate. There's nothing worse than coming home. You want to go outside, have a glass of wine, enjoy your yard, and you see everything's wilted. It's the worst.
So true. And just that consistent watering, is just so important. And, we really can't even depend on rains to give us what we need. It might not be deep enough. So just knowing that you have that consistency, you're going to have a lot more bloom, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And especially if you do the drip irrigation, it's worth just spending another $30 or $50 and getting a fertilizer injector. And then it's going to put in a constant slow-release supply of that water-soluble fertilizer into your drip system, so everything looks immaculate, perfectly professionally grown, and just gorgeous. That constant supply of nutrients is really the key to getting that almost continuous bloom with those large, beautiful flowers.
We had Danielle Hahn from Rose Story Farm. I don't know if you listen to her podcast, but I would highly recommend it.
Yeah.
She's growing
acres
of roses out in California, and she mentioned that constant. She has the same thing as her irrigation is also her fertilization program, and she just talked about the success of that, of getting the nutrients in the water into the plant. So she'd had a lot of good luck with that. We talked a little bit about your deck, but your deck was not just a deck like I walk out onto my deck. Your deck was actually a rooftop. So tell us a little bit about that rooftop garden.
Sure. So it was a four-story walk-up. So the roof deck was on top of the fourth floor. So it was about five stories up in the air. So the exposure to wind and sun was extreme. I mean, the actual roof deck that was next to, our decking, the actual rooftop itself, was a reflective membrane. It was silver, so the sun was amplified, and it was so intense. But as long as you watered everything, everything grew like gangbusters. It was amazing. But the sun and the wind, they were a little bit challenging, especially in the spring when you have that tender growth, and you see those buds forming, and then it's, you know, 30-mile sustained wind gusts is devastating to, you know, a newly leafed out rose. So it's amplified by so much, just, you know, a few feet up in the air, or five stories up in the air, I should say. So, yeah, that was one of the most challenging things, was the wind and the heat of the sun.
So you really had to select varieties that were tough as nails to be able to survive in some of those conditions. Not only the variation in temperatures with the seasons, but also the harsher conditions on the rooftop.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But I found that the wind was really only on some new growth, and once the roses, I think nature just has a way of making them adapt, and they just sort of acclimated to it. And I mean, especially the teas, when that intense heat in the sun, they actually loved it. They thrived. I think some of them are actually doing better, or did better, up on my roof deck than they are in my new yard, where they don't get the heat and the intense sun.
Yeah. Like,
kind of a greenhouse effect.
Mm-hmm. They're like, what's up with these cool temps in an actual yard in the grass? So what's that transition been like from you know, it's a different gardening experience, you know, being on a rooftop versus having a lawn to work with. So how's that working out?
Well, there's a few caveats. I mean, the roof deck, like I said, there were some certain things that were challenging there, but I found in a yard, especially a very lush yard that we inherited from our previous owners, and we lived next to a wooded park, there's a lot more pests than I'm used to. I have Japanese beetles for the first time, a lot of rose slugs, thrips, but, you know, those aren't quite as devastating. But, yeah, I noticed a lot more insects than before, but not to the point where I would need to spray. I may lose a bud here or there, but nothing worse, or nothing that would need or require spraying, I think. But that's a little, I didn't expect that. I thought, oh, they'll be in the ground. They'll be so much more happier and lush, and, yeah, they're getting eaten a little bit more. But, you know, it's nature.
I'm so glad you inherited something lush. We built in a one-street subdivision, and as you hear about subdivisions, they take the topsoil and leave you with what's left. And we have spent, well, I don't even want to talk about the amount of money that we've spent trying to bring the soil up to a rose's, you know, delight. So the fact that you inherited something yummy for the roses is just such a big bonus.
Oh, yeah, we have, in certain areas of Chicago, we have really great, nice black soil. A little sandy sometimes, but, or maybe a little clay, but usually it's pretty nice, dark, nutritious stuff here.
Well, that's awesome, because we have red clay here. We have turned our, well, actually, just the soil that was here when we moved here is not the soil that's here now. So I'll just say.
Well, you've got to do what you got to do. Yeah, I mean, that clay soil is, I remember driving through the South as a kid and stopping on my way and like, why is soil red?
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Well, every area can have their challenges. I always think of the helpful tips that I got from Stephen Scanella, who was on Rose Chat a little while back. He's been on a couple of times. Great, great rosarian, great author. But I said, well, Stephen, make some recommendations for me here in Zone 5B. And he said, I would recommend that you move. What?
No, that's not true at all.
Every area has this challenges. So he likes to tease me about Zone 5B.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we all can't live in Southern California, but there's so many beautiful roses we can still grow here.
And that's a good thing. And we're proving that daily. Well, before we let you go, we have to ask you one more question that we ask all of our guests. If you could visit any rose garden in the world, what would it be?
Well, first, I would find a time machine, and then I would visit Mount Maison.
Wow.
And if I can't have the time machine, I think I would go to Rosary de Lay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, we could just all get on a plane and go to Paris and figure it out when we get there. Yeah.
It can at least be on a bucket list.
Yeah.
I read an article not long ago that they're really restoring a lot of Rosary de la Haye. So it is a spectacular place, only to be more spectacular in the future, I think.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with that. I think that would be amazing.
I know. That's one of my favorite Rugosas, the one that's named for the gardens there, Rosary de la Haye. Oh, so beautiful.
Just a quick side note on that rose. That was one of my absolute favorites. I lost it in the polar vortex, but that rose in the heat and the wind performed beautifully, and nothing smelled like that rose. That's hands down, I think, the most fragrant, most beautiful rose out there. And way under.
Well, I always say, I have all these rugosas, and I want to get a collection of rugosas, but I can hardly not buy another Rosary de la Haye. It just is so beautiful. I have several. When they bloom, there is just nothing like it. The fragrance, the beauty, they're just outstanding, and they just keep blooming a little bit all summer, so it's awesome.
No, they're great. I propagate that one, too, for our store. It's, yeah,
ooh,
one of my favorites. So popular, too.
Very nice. Well, Nathan, thanks so much for taking your time to be with us. I've learned a ton. I've got notes everywhere. Can't wait to go back and listen and write down more notes of all the great things that you told us and the great varieties of roses that you shared. So just thank you so much, and good luck with your new garden.
Thank you, and thanks again. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate all that you guys do.
Thanks so much. Now, you'll want to be sure and follow Nathan on Instagram. That's Nathan of Roses. And, you know, Nathan is a renowned photographer in his own right, and you can check out that website. It's beautiful photography at nathanbeckner.com. Well, friends, we've come to another end of the Rose Chat podcast, and I just want to thank you all for listening each and every week. Your tweets, your emails, your Facebook posts, your Instagram comments are much appreciated, and we just want to invite you to come back next time. So until then, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of The Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.